Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Roethlisberger.
Thank you. I'm happy to say, and according to my lawyers, I've been cleared of all charges. I don't think too good, since I've been hit on the old noggin anyway. But like I said before, I'm innocent. I know I'm a role model, because it's good that your kids look up to me, since I throw a ball for a living. I know I've let many of my sponsors down. Big Ben Beef Jerky is no longer made. They have dropped me. You may have seen the documents when she told police, saying no to me several times. At least I didn't kill any dogs, right? But once I win some games, I can do what I want. I met with Roger Goodell. He told me how important this is. You don't want fans to leave our sport because of me. People may wise up and stop paying for overpriced tickets, concessions, and big-ass job lubricants. But before most, the NFL is family entertainment, not banging people in bathrooms, even if they're hot. But fans still want to smell my fingers. In conclusion, if I win some games, you sloppy, good-for-nothing, idiotic fans won't care, and if I take Pittsburgh to the Super Bowl, I could bang anyone in a bathroom, and you'd clean up after me. Thank you.
Okay.
Good enough. Are you ready now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay. Good evening, and welcome to The Aggressive Couch. I'm Ron.
I'm Dave.
And you can email us at aggressivecouch@gmail.com. And, of course, we're still on iTunes. Just look up Aggressive Couch and write a review or something.
Yes, please. We need the attention.
Yes. Yes, we do. And this episode started off great if you didn't hear the press conference with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I hope I pronounced that right.
It doesn't matter. I don't think anyone will care anyway. But I guess he's somewhat not in trouble anymore, but who knows. All right, well, we're back for another episode. Oh, yeah, this is Aggressive Couch number 24. And this one's called, It's a Molded Fleshlight. Yes?
Okay.
It is. It's a molded fleshlight.
Molded.
Yes. You know what a fleshlight is, don't you?
Unfortunately.
Every kid should have one. I guess that would screw up your kids if you did give them a fleshlight for...
Oh, man. Your sons, maybe. Daughters, oh, definitely.
Here, son, for your 14th birthday. My father gave this to me. Now I'm giving it to you. Just make sure you clean it out before you use it. Anyway.
Is that supposed to be electric or something, or is it just...
I think some of them come with batteries.
Yeah, well, is it, like, vibrate, or is it just supposed to be warm, or...
No, it's just basically, like, a molded rubber receptacle that looks like a vagina on the outside.
Yeah.
And you just fuck it.
Yeah, but when you put... It uses batteries, right? Some of them do. What for?
For vibration.
Okay, that was my question.
Well, what else would they use? Maybe just to give you a mild shock. Because that wouldn't hurt you. It would just be a little tingle.
Well, it depends on how much voltage they use.
Well, what's in a double A? 1.5 volts?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Well, it's the current that gets you.
Yeah. It's still nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going to be talking about cutting the cord, internet issues, and some other stuff. We had a thing here about summer places, but I didn't bother doing anything on that.
Well, we could still fake it. I mean,
yeah, good enough.
I didn't research either.
That's what this whole show is about, faking things.
Yeah.
From orgasms to taxes, mm-hmm. We're about faking things. Except the taxes part, of course. Unless you're maybe a teabagger, I don't know. Well, anyway, let's talk about cutting the cord. This is a recap, because we talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
But I wanted to bring this up because of that Yahoo article. I'm not sure if you've seen it about, it says...
I didn't read it, but I saw it.
About 800,000 have cut their cable service.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that...
Most of them had Comcast.
Did they?
No, I just made that up.
No, they probably did, actually. They are a terrible service, even though they're a sponsor of this show.
Yeah.
That's why they can be a sponsor of this show, because now aren't they Xfinity or something?
I don't know.
They are. They're Who Xfinity. Cares? Why couldn't they come up with another name?
Yeah, Bob and Doug.
Well, you go from Comcast to Xfinity. Who comes up with that?
They probably paid somebody to come up with that.
I want you to figure out a name for our company.
Doug.
Shitty service.
Never let me name a product, ever. That one connector that I named Doug. We sell it as Doug.
Well, radio stations, didn't work for them. Remember, like, Bob programming and
yeah.
Norbert programming? Yeah. Well, anyway, going back to this, 800,000 have cut their cable. But there's 100 million people that still have cable mm-hmm. or satellite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, almost a million is really not a lot. But, of course, they're saying they're cutting here for Netflix or watching shows on the web. And
yeah.
Of course, over-the-air antennas.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing people still use them.
Yeah. I don't. I just got rid of it, period.
Yeah.
I still have a TV, but it's not even plugged in.
Well, anyway, they go on to talk about this is not a, you know, it's not a serious threat right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, someone will start crying. That's
yeah.
a million people that we lost, blah, blah, blah. Well, stop charging so much.
Yeah. I mean, if they would, seriously, if we could just get a la carte and I could just get, like, Discovery Science and the Farming Network, that's all I would watch.
Yeah. Well, you've been cable-free now for how long?
For like a couple months.
And how is it?
I don't miss it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because, like I said, I was only watching, like, that farming show and Mythbusters. And they're not to the new season of Mythbusters yet, so there's really nothing to miss. Because I only watched the farming show because it was on.
Yeah. Now, probably if you called it up, you could probably get a whole year of free service.
Yeah, just about. I know my boss got the introductory offer.
Yeah.
When he threatened to quit. And they said, well, you know, people who sign up new get all these perks and all this and that. And, you know, why can't I get that? It's like, well, okay, we'll give it to you.
I should try that.
Yeah. But then you got to sign, like, you know, the same commitment that a new user would have.
For, like, 2 years or something like that?
Yeah, but if you're going to sign up for 2 years anyway.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Especially if you get that first year pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
What's it matter? So, going back to this, they're dumping, and they're either going to, like, Verizon Fios or AT&T Fios.
Yeah.
Who knows if they actually are. Blah, blah, blah. There really isn't anything really to watch on TV. Like, this guy here is going to say that he's, like, he was paying $130 a month for his cable bill.
Mm-hmm.
But that included unlimited broadband and HD and no premium channels. What? What a ripoff.
When I had broadband, it wasn't even super fast broadband, but it was like $80 a month. But that was through Adelphia. Possibly the only cable service worse than Comcast.
Yeah. Now, the one thing he does bring up that if you like sports, then maybe it's an issue for you if you're
yeah.
cutting it. But
ever heard of radio?
Yeah. Or you could go somewhere and watch a game if you really want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're a fan of like the LA Rams or something, that might, and you live on the East Coast, that might be a problem.
Yes. Well, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up again.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the hell of it. So you're not alone, Dave.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Well, I'm probably alone in the fact that I didn't substitute anything else. I just stopped.
Yeah.
Sort of like Warcraft. I just stopped playing it.
Went cold turkey.
Well, it was just to the point where I was hardly even using it. So it's like, why am I still paying, you know, $65 a month?
Yeah.
You know, for something that I'm just not getting good value for the money.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's money I could be spending on, like, cars or, you know.
Well, since we are talking about money, let's talk about your thing here.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to balance the budget. No one wants to cut spending. No one wants to raise taxes. Okay.
Good luck with that. Is this turning political already?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's really...
Well, it's not really taking sides. It's just pointing out... You know, I have this firm belief that if we have bad government, it's simply because we have bad people. I don't blame the government. You know, if we wanted good government, we would have good government.
Yeah.
You know, but we... You know, you got somebody who actually is good and doesn't, you know, kowtow to special interest. He gets his ass kicked out of office. And who did that? Americans did that. The people did that, not the government. It's not their fault that they
listen. Take that, Americans, lazy bastards.
Yeah, it is not the government's fault that they listen to special interests. It's voters' fault for not punishing the ones who listen to special interests and not rewarding the ones who don't.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to make anybody happy. I mean,
yeah.
One person wants to spend and another person doesn't.
Yeah, but here in The Economist, which is actually a conservative, I think, conservative website, they have, you know, who want, you know, what should we cut? Like Social Security, 7% of people want it cut.
Yeah.
Defense, 22% of people want it cut. Medicare, 7%. Aid to the poor, 17%. Medicaid, 11%. Veterans benefits, 6%. Health research, 13%. Education, 12%. Highways, 12%. Mass transit, 27%. Unemployment benefits, 19%. Science and technology, 22%. Agriculture, 27%. Housing, 27%. The environment, 29%. None of the above, 12%. The only thing that had more than 50% actually coming in at 71% was foreign aid. 71% of people want to cut foreign aid.
Yeah.
Foreign aid makes up less than 1% of Americans' total spending.
You've just turned into the math hour. Thank
yes.
You.
Well, I decided to go ahead and just read the whole list.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. Nobody wants to cut spending, so we're going to have to raise taxes. That's all it is to it. Or, if you don't want to raise taxes, we're going to have to cut spending. And the military and Medicare are the two biggest ones.
Well, no one makes sense because when Bush was in office, everyone was spending freely. And it was the Republican Party, and they're the ones about smaller government.
Oh, well, that's a bunch of BS.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why the Tea Party is kind of interesting.
Yeah, but it's basically the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Except without maybe the... you probably do have your share of loons in there, but...
I think it's the people who get used by the Republican Party, who think that the Republicans are the party of small government when they're not.
But anyway, I mean, you have one party that was spending and spending for years.
Yeah.
Then the next party gets in, and now the party that was spending like mad now wants to suddenly close their legs.
Yeah.
And it's more irritating than anything.
Hear
people
say...
Yeah,
they can't just be... They can't just be honest about that.
Yeah.
You know, why can't they be honest? That's the thing. You know, and I think that's part of what the teabaggers, especially the ones who are pissed off at the Republicans as much as the Democrats, are pissed off about. I mean, I don't think the deficit is that big of a deal. I think once the economy turns around, we can get it reined back in. You know, a small deficit is good anyway.
I mean, it all works itself out eventually if you don't fuck it up too bad.
Yeah. The only real question is hyperinflation, as they call it, like in, what was that, Zaire or Zimbabwe or one of those other Z nations.
But inflation hasn't even risen.
Yeah.
It's been steady.
Yeah, because people don't have any money, so.
But, I mean, even if you get people fail to see the big picture, which is, you know, you can get someone else in there that says they're not going to do this. But in the end, it's people that have a lot of money that are making decisions anyway.
Yeah.
And so you take somebody, even if you took the most normal person and said, well, we're going to give you this job, you know, and do the best that you can, then someone comes around the corner and says, I'll give you $100,000 for doing this, you know, eventually you're going to give in.
Yeah.
Is it right? Probably not, but it's human nature. What are you going to do about
it? Yeah. Well, one thing is the gulf between the rich and the poor, even adjusted for inflation, is growing big time in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, the middle class is actually growing poorer compared to how it was. And what are people doing about that? You know, it's like, oh, let's reduce taxes on the rich. They're not being taxed too much.
Well, I always tell people that you have to keep that, you know, that... One of my arguments is that you have to keep that divide in check.
Mm-hmm.
Because then if you don't,
then the poor people rise up and start lopping heads.
Yes. Well, I tell them, I said, you know, you can't let that divide get too big because, if you know, read up on your history.
Yeah.
That's the best way to learn.
You're always going to have poor people.
Yeah, you will. You have poor and you'll have rich.
Yeah, and you're going to, the real key is having a large middle class.
Yeah. But you still need that balance,
mm-hmm.
because then you're right. If it gets out of hand, then the poor rise up, and then the shit really gets real at that point.
Yeah.
But I think the reason people still haven't got that mad and risen up yet because it's a little. I think maybe it's a little harder now, mm-hmm. or maybe there's too many distractions.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that get distracted.
What was that? It was actually, again, this was a conservative writer who said, you know, socialism could take over in America if only 3% of the people in this country were in favor of communism.
Yeah.
Of course, socialism and communism aren't the same thing, but try explaining that to a teabagger.
Yeah.
I mean, public roads is socialism. The fucking military is socialism.
Yeah.
It's all of us spending money for the common good. That's socialism. Duh.
And people get mad about the spending, mm-hmm. you know, with the whole bank thing. Yeah, that is a pisser.
Yeah.
And that probably wasn't managed well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't managed well when Bush was leaving town and they just gave all that money away and no one knows where it went.
Yeah.
Besides someone's pocket.
Yeah.
But still, the other part of that spending, too, there's billions of dollars that went for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hate to tell people this, but infrastructure costs money.
Yeah, and we've been letting it slide for the last 40 years.
Yeah, if we would have taken care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're behind in just, you know, our internet alone is horrible. Yeah.
And, you know, we have this great facade, but behind it, it's everything's rotting.
Yeah.
And we need to fix it. We've got the money now. We should be fixing it.
So if you want roads to get to work that aren't completely in disrepair.
But roads are socialist, Ron. It's socialism.
All right, well, good luck getting to work without any roads.
Yeah.
That's just the name of the game. Infrastructure costs money. It's mm-hmm. expensive. It's never going to get cheap. But it's, you know, it's if you don't take care of your car, eventually it's going to fall apart on you.
Yeah.
Then the repairs turn out to be bigger.
Mm-hmm. And it pays to go ahead and use good quality parts unless you're planning on selling the car in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't care if you put, you know, Bob's brakes or, you know, top of the line Hawk brakes on your car. It just doesn't have brakes.
Yeah. And that's where the whole capitalism thing gets it gets so shaky because, you know, someone will say, well, these companies deserve to make their money. But that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Big companies like AT&T and Verizon, this is the easiest analogy. You know, they've been dragging ass for years.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they've been upgrading their systems slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's really in a rush to do it because they're just pinging you and they're just
And now I
sucking
admit,
money from you.
I admit regulations are part of the problem there. It's not that we have too many or too few regulations. It's that the regulations we have frequently just aren't really, they just don't work all that well.
Yeah.
We end up with a lot of red tape. We need regulations, you know, like I was thinking, you know, we don't need more regulations. We don't need less regulations. We just need good regulations.
Yeah.
I think we have about the right amount. We just need to reduce the red tape. But that's only part of it. It's mainly just the fact that they're making money, so they don't really care. And they don't, you know, the market is not, companies do compete with one another, but did you ever play touch football when you were a kid?
Yeah.
With no referees?
Yeah.
How long before it turned into tackle?
Like right away.
Exactly. I mean, with me, it was about a 50% chance it was going to turn to a fist fight. Look, it doesn't, okay, it's a competition. But it's not, you know, capitalism should be sport.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have solid ground rules. The government needs to be the referee. That's my take on it. I don't know if anyone agrees with me. I agree with myself.
Well, it makes sense because then if you don't, then you just have a monopoly. That's where monopoly is coming from.
Yeah, and even if you have two companies competing with one another, you end up with the big fish in a small pond thing.
Yeah.
They're not innovating.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to... A small company will never compete effectively with a large company, but it needs typically a small company starts up with a new idea and gets kind of big and then gets bought out.
Yeah.
That's actually good because then their ideas get absorbed into the large company that has the resources to really put it to work. As opposed to what happens if the startups can't start up, then the whole industry stagnates and America ends up getting left behind and we have Chinese owners within 200 years.
Yeah. Well, since we're on this somewhat, there is an article about the net neutrality case that an appeals court ruled against the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically favors the cable companies and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is bad, but it's still in the appeals round, so it'll go around again.
Mm-hmm.
And right there is the perfect example. You don't want Comcast and just Comcast, Verizon, AT&T deciding what you can do with your internet.
Yeah.
Because eventually you'll get fucked because they'll say, well, since you're playing your Xbox or your PlayStation online, you're using this much more bandwidth than this person here. You mm-hmm. need to be charged an extra $10 a month.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
I could understand a little bit, if you want certain high bandwidth users, maybe set like a bandwidth cap or a certain absolute maximum limit, and you can pay more and get better or faster. That, to a certain extent, makes a little bit of certainly we've got that now. You know, if you want 1 gig what is it, 10 meg costs more than just 1 meg.
Yeah.
I think that should be pretty much the end of it. The real problem is when they start doing something like, oh, you want to watch movies. Well, you can access Hulu, but it's going to be, even though you're paying for 10 meg, accessing Hulu is going to be over like a 500K line unless you pay to upgrade.
Yeah, and that's what will happen. It's just, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's really just where do you draw the line?
Yeah, because people want to do more online, and really... Mm-hmm. I bet you most people that use the internet are probably just doing that. I mean, granted, you're going to have your select people that are always downloading stuff.
Yeah.
And things. But I would say the majority is just basic surfing. Mm-hmm. They're watching their porn.
Yeah.
And they want to stream movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's actually possible and it works well.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to run into some bullshit where somebody goes, well, you can't do this because it'll cost you more.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit because, I mean, our internet sucks compared to, like, a country like Japan.
Yeah. Our internet sucks compared to the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Okay? It sucks compared to fucking Serbia. All right? Second world nations have better internet than we do.
It really should really be up to 100 megs a second by now.
Mm-hmm.
Easily for the home.
Yeah.
And it hurts us because you could be doing so much more if that capability was brought to you.
But now, never mind that. I mean, I could easily work from home, 99% of the time if I had better broadband.
Yeah.
Because I have, mediocre band. So it would take me forever to download stuff.
That's why this show is still buffering as we talk. All right. Well, since we've completely bored anyone that was listening, let's talk about more of the internet. We'll call this internet issues. All right.
Is your topic introducing?
Yes, I know. I'm just saying. With internet issues, it's basically a love-hate relationship. Like, I like the internet. It's great. You know, it's phenomenal. It's great for, instant porn. I mean, like I said a thousand times before. You know, masturbation's completely been changed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue that I have with, it's almost like with cell phones. It's great having, on the internet, you get all that information. But now it's really turned everyone into a complete bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Because now no one's just satisfied. And what's irritating, if you're on a gaming site, you know, they're trying to hype games that are coming out. They aren't coming out for another year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fucking game. I mean, who really cares about development issues? You know, you'll see these little stories like, yeah, we're at this stage. It's like, who fucking cares? I mean, there's probably a small percentage, but there's no point in it.
Those things, a little bit of that can be interesting, but only you know, if it really is something really out of the ordinary or something. But, you know, it's like that Amiga magazine I used to read. They talked about in the early days they had large pictures of programmers. It's like, yes, by about issue 13, we stopped with the large pictures of programmers.
Yeah, they're programmers. I mean, they're not.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, if there really is an interesting story behind a certain game, it really does warrant more than just, you know, oh, we're having trouble getting the ones to line up with the zeros.
Yeah.
But usually there's nothing to it. It was just, you know, relatively minor things or.
Yeah. Well, even, and movie sites are probably worse because with a movie, you know, the production and things like that move along a lot faster than, but the just whole thing of reading stories and seeing people speculate, like, oh, this movie, you know, this movie's not even been greenlit yet. They're talking about, oh, this could happen, and it's been written and that type of thing. It's like, let it go.
It can be fun if you're into that, I suppose.
It is. Well, I'm really into movies, but I just get tired of hearing about it. It's like all the fun. It seems like the internet it takes the fun away from a lot of things. I mean, it really has. That's the way I see it, anyway. It's like the person that comes to your birthday party, and they're there for 5 minutes, and they throw your cake on the floor.
Yeah, there's so many people on the internet, even though I don't think there's necessarily. People do tend to act a little more asshole-ish, like when they're behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
I believe it's the same thing when they're on the internet.
Yeah.
But I think overall it's a minority of people who are like that.
Well,
when you've
got
1,000 people on a message board, it only takes one person to turn it into a massive flame war.
Yeah. But, you know, I read things, and like, why am I even bothering with this? I don't even care.
I don't know why you do either.
Neither do I. I just like torturing it. Maybe I just like torturing myself. I don't know. All right, let's talk about the greatest thing ever. The conspiracies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was supposed to be the Gali conspiracy episode, but we couldn't think of an entire episode's worth of material.
So, well, we probably could have, but we just didn't work to it.
Well, yeah. Do you want a decent episode that's got a conspiracy section or a really bad episode that kind of repeats itself?
Yeah, we'll try harder next time, maybe.
All right, conspiracies. It's all about suppression.
What are you suppressing?
Oh, it's, well, like people say, automakers are trying to suppress gas-saving devices.
Maybe they are.
In something as competitive as automobiles, I don't think.
Wait, should we play devil's advocate?
No, we never did before.
Well, let's do it. I'll be the devil. Yes.
What? I thought you were.
Oh.
What's the devil take on the automobile conspiracies?
Do people really believe that shit?
An awful lot of people do. They like the ego boost that comes with thinking of oneself as the only intelligent objector in a world of sheeple. Thank you, cracked.
I would say maybe it's not a conspiracy. I would say maybe the car companies have been dragging their ass on more fuel-efficient cars.
We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about the 200-mile-per-gallon carburetor from the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about, or magnets that you strap onto your fuel lines.
Yeah.
Really, the thing with automobiles now is there's only, there's certain technologies that we know about, like making the cars lighter, but people actually don't like the lighter cars. They like the ride and the comfort you get in the heavier car.
Yeah.
So, and then also turbochargers. Turbochargers have a very limited life. You know, they typically, if you see a car with a turbo in a junkyard, it's there because the turbo's bad.
This isn't a good conspiracy. Let's move on to the next conspiracy.
Okay.
I don't like this auto one.
Chiropractors and alt medicine and dietary substance and other health woo, they always claim to be suppressed.
And there's a conspiracy with chiropractors?
Yes. Well, the chiropractors are one of the biggest purveyors of medical BS in the entire country. I mean, you go into, they're always trying to push herbal supplements, and they're always trying to, oh, you know, this will align your, instead of just saying, okay, this is a massage. That's what it is.
Well, it's they do crack you.
Yeah, it's a massage for your back. That's it. And for your vertebrae. But they're always claiming all these health benefits. Other than a sore back and certain lower back problems, chiropractic has been proven to do very little. It's no more effective than a placebo.
But if it works for you, what if you go in there and it's and it works for you?
Well, the problem is you go in there and it works for you, and then you find out, you know, 3 years later that you had cancer, that if you'd have gone to a doctor in the first place. What the heck is that?
Someone had to do
it. And we're back, and we have the combination to the air shield.
Yes. Here, where do you want me to hide this handgun?
Well, let's see. So why do people believe in conspiracies? I think people have this big guy, little guy, for one thing.
Well, wait, we were still talking about the chiropractors.
Yeah.
Before we had to take care of some business.
Yeah. Well, chiropractors, load of crap. What else do we need? Is there anything else?
I don't know if that's a conspiracy, though.
Well, yeah, it's the conspiracy is the big pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know all these natural remedies that only cost like 80 or 90% of what, you know, remedies that would work cost.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I don't trust pharmaceutical companies, but
you can't, who can you trust?
Nobody.
Yeah, really.
But given a choice of trusting pharmaceutical company or, you know, a quack, I think I'm going to go with a pharmaceutical company.
Well, going, I have a conspiracy here going with the one of the more popular ones.
Okay.
Is about the HARP. You know what HARP is?
No.
It's the High Frequency Active Aerial Research Program.
Okay.
It is an ionospheric research program jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, and the University of Alaska, and, of course, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. All right. Its purpose is to analyze ionosphere and investigate the potential for developing enhancement technology for radio communications and surveillance purposes, such as missile detection. This conspiracy is with this, is that no one knows what really goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
So the conspiracy...
A top secret military program that we don't want to tell our enemies about? Oh, my God.
Well, people say when they run these tests, that's why we're getting these earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that's the part of the conspiracy, is that when this is fired up and they're running these tests,
mm-hmm.
it's causing these earthquakes, like in Haiti and in China. And one of the other theories is that it's used for mind control.
Yeah.
Because it's hidden way up in Alaska in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, no, you know, the scientist's point of view was, you know, it kind of makes sense that all these theories are out there because no one really knows what mm-hmm. we do. It's kind of, you know, it's just basic science, but it's kind of boring to the normal person.
Yeah. Well, in absence of information, you know.
Yeah. Maybe he's lying to us, though. It is. They're controlling our minds.
Yeah, idiots abhor a vacuum.
But maybe we can send them an email and ask them to make sure people listen to this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, if you're controlling people's minds. But that's a very popular one besides, you know, the JFK ones.
Yeah.
But they're saying it has the other thing besides earthquake that we're controlling weather and things mm-hmm. like that with it.
Yeah.
You know, who knows if that's true. Maybe it is.
Well, anyway, can we get into the hows and whys of conspiracy? So why do people believe in conspiracies?
Because they're fun.
No, I think they... I'm not talking about people like us who enjoy conspiracy theories.
It's probably like anything. If you don't have all the... you know, anything that you don't really have all the information for, it's easy mm-hmm. to speculate.
Yeah, but the problem is people, you know, they go beyond reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly there are organizations like Freemasons, for instance. Yes, Shriners are real. But, you know, and of course they do have power, and there's some powerful people there, but the thing is I think we've mentioned this before. Are they really trying to control the world? Well, maybe they'd like to, but mainly I think they're really just trying to control their own stuff. I don't think they have the ability. Maybe they have more power than they should. Something like, you know, New World Order or Skull and Bone Society or something.
I think it's just a fraternity of people that get in.
Yeah, they might be powerful, and certainly, you know, they meet and they decide to do stuff.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily think that it's any sort of conspiracy.
Well, like I said before, a lot of people believe that there's the big think tanks run things. You know, there's a group of people.
Just like any other special interest group, they have too much power.
Yeah. But
they're just another special interest group, as far as I'm concerned.
But then what gets people excited is that because it's very powerful people that usually sit on these boards and run these. I mean, because it's not just like, you know, some dude down the street from you.
Yeah.
It's usually somebody high, you know, high ranking in, you know, business or politics or something like that. You know, this one conspiracy book that I partially read because it just got so convoluted.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. It started out great. It's like, this is pretty cool. It's like, that'd be awesome. Because it was the whole thing with the Rockefellers and how entrenched with politics they were. But then after a while, your head just spins because the guy's like going off, you know, it's like, this person into this person. And you connect this dot to this dot, and it leaves you around here. If you make two 360s and come around and make another 780, you might hit this.
Yeah.
Then you're like, what?
Yeah, and, you know, this person. And it's the most convoluted things. And even when you prove them wrong, to them that's just more evidence that they're right.
Yeah. I think it's just some joy in it, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's for the same reason why people buy Macintoshes.
Yeah.
It's to be part of, they want to feel like they're part of an elite. But, I mean, everybody does that to a certain extent. Even people who are, you know, having a podcast and insulting people who believe in conspiracy. We're thinking of ourselves as being better than them.
Yeah.
Now,
I would say, too, it would also be foolish to think everything is just exactly as you see it. Because it makes perfect sense. And, you know, it's really not hard to believe some things would be covered up.
Yeah. And but I think a lot of it is less that, I think more of it's not so much covering up. I think it's more CYA, cover your ass.
Yeah.
People trying to, mistakes are made, but not by me. Yes. I think that's an awful lot of the JFK was just people, you know, they probably, I think they might have been able to know that something was up. I mean, Oswald was visiting they know that he visited the Russian consulate in Mexico. They know the guy was a nutcase. They knew he was this and was dangerous. And I'm sure they were probably afraid that they didn't want that information to get out.
There was three shooters instead of one.
Yeah, the seventh gunman opened up with the blowpipes.
Yeah.
That's why you don't hear it on the tape.
Yeah, I mean, you know, is it possible that there was three gunmen who, you know, who knows? The thing that loses credibility, I think, with a lot of these things is, don't you think by now someone would have talked?
Yeah.
Or has everyone been snuffed out that knew something?
Yeah, because... And, of course, the more people you get to snuff everyone out, now this person knew a whole bunch of people, so you had to have somebody kill him and the other 10 or 15 people that he knew closely. And then you got to hire, like, 10 or 15 people to kill all them, and then another 10 or 15. Eventually, everyone kills everyone. You know, I just don't think that they have that much power.
Yeah.
They couldn't. I've said, you know, they can't keep the lack of WMDs in Iraq from being national news.
Yeah.
If they can't plant WMDs in Iraq, they couldn't have assassinated the president and gotten away with it.
There's always a smoking gun somewhere.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. Because it's just infallible. People are infallible. Someone that has to mess...
People are not infallible.
That's what I meant. But people mess up, and someone has to talk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if there was an instance where... Maybe a fighter pilot seen something. Yeah, that could possibly be covered up. But then again, you would think that maybe one day he would talk to his kids.
Yeah.
And his kids would say, and then someone... But then again, that goes back to the whole thing that the whole story thing. You know, you start at one end, by the time you get to the other end, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Remember that story that Russ told us about his dad or something seeing a monkey with the green eyes or something like that?
Yeah.
That makes me kind of think of that.
Yeah.
When it could just been a gorilla out at night, who knows?
Yeah. Another thing, who is Bob Lazar, who runs United Nuclear, which is just a place where, you know, if you want to buy uranium or, you know, you want to build your own cloud chamber, that's a place to go. Also, it's also for pyrotechnics. But, you know, he claims that he worked at Area 51. And the interesting thing about his story is that it's actually plausible.
Yeah.
It could very well be that he was a dupe. And that he was just some guy that they brought in to kind of obfuscate, to kind of obscure what was really going on, which was just very little.
Yeah. Well, there's
the thing is he says he never saw aliens, and he was working on aircraft that they said were from aliens, but that he didn't actually work on them very much, but he saw them.
Yeah.
And he did work with the people who were working on them.
Or maybe it's just advanced weaponry, and the cell is that, oh yeah, it's aliens.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm thinking. That is plausible, that maybe they just brought him in and kind of lied to him about what this stuff was, and they built these alien-looking UFOs or maybe he's just part of it, certainly we lie about what we're doing with our black technology.
Yeah.
You're
not going to make statements about some aircraft that you're building.
I mean, there are things, like, we know that there is an Aurora program.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it an airplane? They kind of announced that Aurora became operational right at the time they retired the SR-71.
Yeah.
And you would think we wouldn't get rid of the SR-71 unless we didn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was so useful.
Yeah.
You know, because satellites, you can track satellites. You can't. An aircraft just comes barreling through the sky at, like, Mach 4. By the time you pick it up on your radar, it's past you.
Yeah.
So now, theoretically, we have an aircraft that can actually go, like, Mach 6 or 8.
Yeah.
And the problem is it costs, like, $1 billion per flight. But this is just the story. I don't know if any of that's true.
Yeah.
But it actually...
Well, the SR-71 was retired, right?
Yeah. But there again, we admitted that we had that.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a pretty cool looking plane, too.
Oh, man, that thing was badass. And they didn't really understand stealth, but it was stealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, they just kind of knew conceptually that if you make it kind of sweeping and don't have a lot of sharp angles, that it won't have a big radar cross signature. But they didn't sit down with a computer simulation like some of the later ones.
Yeah, and you make it go fucking fast, so that helps.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the conspiracies. And this is, I think, too, where the divide also with this, because there's more information and things like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, the internet keeps all this stuff alive, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you read things online, like, oh, yeah, this happened.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about 100 years ago, think how easy it would be to get a conspiracy going.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's less people and things are more unknown.
Yeah. Well, Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which wasn't even about Jews originally.
Yeah.
It was about the French royalty. But then after they all got beheaded, somebody took the book and just rewrote it about Jews and translated it to Russian, and that was that.
I think, you know, there are people that believe hardcore believe it.
Yeah.
And there's always people on the
Certainly, fence. There are an awful lot of really powerful Jewish bankers in the world. I don't think we could deny that. But are they running the world? I don't think so.
I don't think anybody knows who's running the world.
I don't think anyone's running the world. I think that's part of the problem.
I'm not sure if anyone wants to run the world.
Yeah, I'm sure people would want to, but I don't think realistically.
It'd just be... I mean, we could possibly do it, but we'd fuck it up. And China could, but they look at it and say, we don't want that headache either. You know, they just want people to stay out of China. Mm-hmm. They want money, but they want people to stay out of China. And, you know, they don't want India or anyone else coming across, and they're more like, just leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're smart enough to know that they have plenty of their own problems and they don't want to deal with anything else.
There are megalomaniacs out there.
Yeah.
But
I think just the Chinese government as a whole, they realize we can make money, we have our own problems.
Yeah. They are concerned with power and with money, but I don't think they... It's one thing to, like, dominate. It's another thing to actually control.
Yeah. Well, think 200 years ago when countries were still being conquered. It was a different place then.
Yeah. The whole thing has basically been to do it the American way, where you dominate other countries, but you leave them independent.
Yeah.
You know, you just make sure that they toe the line.
Yeah.
And the Cold War helped with that because the Soviet Union was doing the same thing.
Yeah. But having countries completely taken over all, it's just a more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make you any money anymore, really. It just drains resources, as you can see with Iraq and Afghanistan and just about every other place. But that's the hard truth. It really is. It's not really just about taking over countries. You just occupy them and drain resources.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it drains our resources, not theirs.
But conspiracy, yeah. I mean, it's fun.
So on that note, what was the next? How about the summer travel tips?
All right, where are you going this year for your summer vacation?
Well, I was probably just going to visit relatives walking. same thing I always do.
Okay.
So, what, travel advice? Are we actually going to try to make it helpful?
Maybe. Let's not do this.
The more you eat, the more you drink, the more you have to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
So eat everything. Try to stay light.
Well, I know some. Here's a summer travel tip. Traveling by car will be, you know, cheaper than ever this summer. Even with gas at $4 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're lucky, it'll be up to $5 a gallon next summer. Yeah.
And the thing is, like they're saying, we have an excess of production and capacity right now because so few people are traveling. It's all about, this is nothing but pure speculation.
It's all bullshit.
I mean, the last one, at least there was a small amount of justification in that we were running at maximum capacity. But even so, we were running at maximum capacity.
Yeah.
We had enough oil to go around.
It's just irritating more than anything. It's just someone saying, we're just going to raise prices.
Yeah.
It's just like being at a casino.
Well, what it is people are getting in and they're buying up the oil because they think that other people will be willing to pay money for it. And then it starts to run on oil as people start to see the prices going up. So more people start buying into it. And then it starts coming back down.
And you'll probably still have less people driving this year. Maybe a few more, but I bet you it'll probably stay the same.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be really, over 3 again.
Yeah, it's more about, people jumping onto the bandwagon because that's one thing that's making money right now.
Yeah.
And it's a hot potato. Everybody knows it's going to come crashing down. But, you know, you figure you can get, if you time it right, like Goldman Sachs, you can make a ton of money.
Everyone's happy that we're talking about oil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this Peru thing. The last thing here.
Oh, okay. It rarely pays to assume that a professional is an idiot. And people make mistakes, but, you know, truthfully, there's usually a good reason.
Are you just talking about professionals in general, or...?
Just about anything, really. I'm talking about, like, if you have a car, and you think, well, why did they put this cheap part in this rear suspension here, instead of putting, like, a really good quality part?
Yeah.
Well, there's probably a good reason. Maybe you don't agree with the reason, but they had a good reason.
More than likely, the reason was cost.
Exactly. I mean, if you have... it's like, well, this rear end isn't really capable of supporting 500 horsepower. Well, dude, from GM, that 7.5-inch rear end only had to handle 300 pound-feet of torque, all right? Not 600.
Yeah.
So, duh.
There's a great line from that horrible movie Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great line in it when they're in the shuttle and they're blasting off, and the one guy says, aren't you happy that you're sitting on, like, so many thousand pounds of fuel in a vehicle built by the lowest bidder?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel comfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what's not? I mean, your brakes are typically built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah, well, everything is. I mean, you got to cut cost here and there, but you pay for that eventually.
Not necessarily.
If you buy stuff from China, you do.
Yeah, exactly. You just... there's a certain level where you don't need to... you don't need to put a rear end into a Camaro that can support 1,200 horsepower if the car's only making 200 horsepower.
Yeah.
There's no point. So,
might need that extra 800.
Yeah, but you don't build a rear end that can only handle 100 horsepower either.
Yeah.
And if you're rebuilding it, you don't put a cheap ring and pinion back there. You put a good one. But also thinking, whenever you can't understand why someone did something, don't assume that they're an idiot. And if you can't, why did a carpenter who was building your house do this in a certain way? He probably had a good reason.
Yeah, maybe. Or he could just be an idiot.
Well, I mean, if he's a professional and he's been doing this for a long time, he probably had his reason. It may not necessarily have been a good reason, but he had a reason.
But you can also argue that maybe he's just been an idiot for that long, too. You can't win, really.
Well, yeah.
This guy has been a professional idiot all his life.
People like that generally don't stay in business. I mean, again, that's small business is somewhat self-regulating. Big business is generally not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're in a huge corporation, you can usually get... As long as they're not making any cuts, you might be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Homer Simpson keeps his job.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's... Some people say it's a conspiracy that it's not real. It is real, damn it.
Yeah, you met Bart once, didn't you?
Yes. Why not? How are we doing on time?
I think we're on time.
Oh, cool. All right, let's do the random thoughts and stuff.
Okay.
All right. We've reached the random thoughts section of the show. All right. Oh, I have some. I was in Sears again, and their fucking 3D glasses were broke.
Again?
I still haven't got to see it. Maybe if I travel someplace else, but I'm not going to make a special trip just to see it. But anyway, Samsung released their 3D TV safety guidelines.
Yeah.
So here's a few of them. This is just the typical stuff, but... children and teenagers may be more susceptible to health issues associated with viewing in 3D and should be closely supervised with viewing these images.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is basically all the same things that video games tell you.
Yeah.
If you read all the fine print and...
If you're one of those people that reads the manual before you start playing.
Yeah. I really don't want to watch glasses all the time or wear glasses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm watching TV, it just seems it's going to be very annoying. Yes.
Okay.
And the crowd got hushed.
I didn't realize you were turning over to me yet.
I guess so.
Yeah, the markets went down after Goldman Sachs was charged with fraud today, which is, Wall Street saying, oh, shit, you mean they're actually going to hold us responsible for, these last 8 years of... screwing over the American public.
We got caught with our hand in a cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you were telling me earlier, Dave, that you were thinking about joining a militia.
Yeah.
That's a great segue.
I was going to join the metal militia.
Well, I was going to tell you, if you're looking to join a militia, you might want to think about going to Oklahoma. Because Oklahoma tea parties and lawmakers are envisioning a militia. So they're saying, of course, in Oklahoma City, frustrated by recent political setbacks, Tea Party leaders and some conservative members of the Oklahoma legislature say they would like to create a new volunteer militia to help defend against what they believe are improper federal infringements on state sovereignty.
Yeah, boy, that makes so much sense.
So they're not really doing anything. They're kind of mulling it around.
Mm-hmm.
But... the feedback they're getting is that you're just kind of asking for trouble because the state already has the National Guard.
Yeah.
So now you're going to ask
And never mind the fact that even the National Guard versus the regular army would get their ass whipped. Even though about half of them are, a lot of their officers are former army guys, right?
Yeah.
Even so, they're still going to get their ass whipped. Okay, you got to understand the kind of, if you try to secede from the Union in this day and age, it's going to go nuclear pretty goddamn fast.
Well, once you read the whole thing, it's kind of...
frightening.
It is, because they're... What are you saying? Are you saying... Because they're, like, on the fence. They're saying, we're not really... I think they're just trying to make some kind of, like, political statement.
Yeah.
Which, in turn, I think is just going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You know, they should really just call this what it is. It's called Whitey is Upset.
Yeah.
It's funny to see how mad white people are because Obama won.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Well, they were pissed off like this when Clinton was president, but not, like, not quite this bad.
Well, yeah, maybe a little, but I think they're really upset because they realized the black guy won.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're used to being beat down in sports and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they probably never thought, well, a black guy will never beat us in the political arena like
yeah.
this. Oh, wait, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's... I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to make this militia and the real army is going to come in and... That would be interesting.
Yeah. They wouldn't stand a chance against the Air Force, for crying out loud. I mean, just plain old militia fat guys and stuff. And maybe they train. They might... not be as bad as, like, if you and I were in combat, but, you know, they're still going to be awful.
Yeah. But this is just asking for problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like going to a small country and these little armies start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the grander picture, what's going to happen? Some little army's going to start, and no matter what would happen, any place that you are, you still need order, because mm-hmm. anarchy never works.
Yeah,
I mean, you can look at Somalia, for God's sakes.
Yeah, because it's not anarchy. It turns into he with the most guns, it just turns into a dictatorship.
Yeah, and really, it's not even a dictatorship. It's just warring factions at this mm-hmm. point. And so you're really not going to be, you're going to be worse off because now you're going to have complete idiots that have no sense of order and how mm-hmm. to run things at all. It's just, well, I got a gun, so I should be in charge.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you know, all this anger at Washington, and yet, you know, what would they change? What would they do differently?
Yeah, you never hear that. You never hear anyone say, well, we're going to do this different. Well, what are you going to do? You never hear that.
Yeah, they're just angry.
Yeah, which is fine to be upset, but what are you mad at?
Mm-hmm.
Are you mad at because there's a black guy there and he's running things and maybe shit is getting done? I mean, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I have to admit, I don't particularly like a lot of, like, the healthcare legislation.
Yeah.
I think it was too complicated and kind of gimmicky, and at the same time, it didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a poorly written piece of legislation is the main thing.
I agree with you on some of that.
Yeah, and they had to put all this stuff in to please all these special interest groups, otherwise it wouldn't have passed.
Yeah.
But again, I don't really hold the lawmakers responsible. I hold the people in those special interest groups who vote responsible.
My hope is that it's not the greatest, but you have to start from somewhere.
Yeah.
So at least now you have a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's the whole point of Congress, that you come back and revisit and say, well, we need to rewrite this and make things better.
Yeah.
That's the hope that you want something like that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, well, it's broken. Well, yeah, it's... Because you're just starting out, nothing is perfect.
Yeah.
You think, you know, when the first car was made, was it perfect?
Well, it depends on your definition of perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it did its job, but you know there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't, you'd probably still be driving Model Ts around.
Yeah.
Or driving cars without windshield, for Christ's sake.
Well, as slow as those cars went, that wasn't a big problem.
Christ, my eyes are dry shut.
Yeah, any faster than 60 miles an hour and you'll asphyxiate because of the wind coming in.
But I've seen that story and I just thought that was rather interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they never give any ideas and it's always, you know.
We're angry. You know, and that's the thing. it's just like thinking about libertarians. To me, it just seems extremely immature.
Yeah.
You know, there's question authority. I say, you know, to me, question authority means don't take anyone's word for anything.
Yeah.
Do your own research. Find out what the truth really is. But that does, when they say question authority, they mean authority is always wrong.
Yeah.
Of course, by saying that, they're making themselves an authority, which means that they are wrong. But it's just childish. It's the emotional maturity of a 13-year-old.
Yeah. Like we said last week, like fighting the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. You can't win. He's got more powers than you.
Yeah.
Your puny weapons are, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Stipe would just kick your ass.
Your superior intellect is no match for our puny weapons. All right, let's go into the next story.
Okay. There's a volcano in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, and it's probably the first time anyone's heard anything about Iceland since Bjork. But maybe it ties in with all the earthquakes.
Maybe Bjork's releasing another album. It's just a promotional stunt.
Probably.
Bjork is behind this volcano.
Mm-hmm.
It could be happening. I mean, her music was terrible. But
she had that Army of Me song. That was about it.
Well, she did do a song that was all right, that big time sexuality.
Yeah.
She's like running around, but still.
Or It's So Quiet. I mean, that song, it's interesting to listen to once.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to listen to it. Also, I heard some songs by the Sugar Cubes that were okay.
Who is buying Bjork albums? We should find that out.
Yeah, it's probably the Illuminati. Either that or KTEL.
Maybe I'll go for some big conspiracy. Is KTEL even still around?
I don't know. Wait, I got the internet open. I could tell. Yeah.
I think it is. Well, while you're doing that, Jim Nance criticizes Tiger Woods' vocal tantrums. So, since Jim Nance is the end-all, be-all of everything,
mm-hmm.
I figured I'd bring this up. If you don't know who Jim Nance is, he's basically another swarmy announcer guy.
Yeah.
You know, that wouldn't say anything to get anyone upset. But I just thought this was funny because this whole Tiger Woods thing, you know, they're saying before the Masters, Tiger Woods said, you know, he's changed. His outburst would be quieted.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he was out on the, you know, he messed up some shots. So he was like, fuck, god damn it. And then at one point, you know, he called himself and that went out on the air the first time, I guess, mm-hmm. when he said fuck because he missed a shot. He goes, fuck. Well, I mean, it's natural. It's called being a human.
Mm-hmm.
So now the announcer, you know, you know, he said, well, if I said what he said on the air, I would be fired. And he called mild language, and he said, Nance then admitted that this isn't something that disturbed him in the past, but the fact that Tiger promised us to change is why it rubbed him the wrong way. He mentioned that he doesn't speak perfectly, but when the red light is on, he has things he cannot say.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, swarmy, uptight Jim Nance is upset because someone said fuck because mm-hmm. he promised to change his ways. I guess he never swears or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, KTEL is still in business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think they actually sell stuff. They license the tracks that they own to other companies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but apparently it's still owned by Philip Kives, who started KTEL.
Wow, that's amazing.
Or at any rate, maybe it's not owned by him. I don't know. It says about the founder.
Going on about this, he also said that there are people watching the telecast that shouldn't be subjected to such profanities.
Mm-hmm.
How about the as quotes here? How about the father and son who are standing right there by the tee? Or how about the hundreds of people who are around the tee that hear that? Yeah, I'm sure that kid who's sitting next to his dad's never heard the word cock or fuck. He's probably heard much worse than that.
Certainly if he was ever around my mom when she was driving.
I mean, that's just so... I just hate people like this because they're so smug. And
mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone's... Well, these... they shouldn't talk like that. Like the whole thing with NASCAR being upset because drivers were cussing. You know what? People do that. I don't know why everyone has to try and sell this image.
I mean, if it's on a TV interview and you can be fined by the FCC, okay, that's one thing. But if it's over your in-car radio, I say whatever you say is your business.
Yeah, but it's a live event. Mm-hmm. And for somebody to be that smug and say, well, there was a father and son there. You know, like, that kid's probably heard a lot worse than just fuck.
Yeah.
He probably heard, God damn it, your mother's a cunt. Oh, let's stop at Burger King. I'm sure he's heard a lot worse. I don't think Tiger Woods probably would have scarred that kid for life by saying fuck.
Yeah. All right. There was a big airplane crash that killed, what was it, about 3/4 of the government of Poland.
Yeah.
Don't they have laws that, you know, in this country, the president and vice president are not allowed to take the same plane? I mean, wouldn't you think that? I mean, is that not kind of a given? I mean, why did they have half the government in the same plane in the first place? I mean, not to diminish the tragedy here, but isn't that kind of boneheaded?
Yeah, it is. And he's even the one that gave the order to land. Mm-hmm. He said he should land.
Yeah.
And really, shouldn't the pilot say, you know, I'm the one flying the plane. Maybe you should let me drive.
Yeah.
I don't see the president going, you know what, Jim, let me take over today.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing is if he would have stood up and said, look, you want to land, then you fly the fucking thing. Because I'm diverting and you can kiss my ass.
It's always you'll
have to shoot me. It's like, even if you shoot me, it's like, all right, so then I'll be the one that's dead instead of everybody else on this plane, too.
I know, that's crazy that happens. It's such a, like, oddball thing. But,
yeah. You
know, leave it to the Polish to do something like that. I mean, they just...
I don't even think, you know, the two people that know the recipe to Coke can fly on the same plane.
No. No, they... I actually listened to an interview about this, and, you know, they talked about, you know, would this happen, you know, could this happen here? Mm-hmm. And they said sometimes the president and the vice president do fly together, mm-hmm. but you never know when that is.
Yeah.
They said most of the time they probably do fly separately, but they never release, you know, of course, they never say, hey, guess where we're going to be,
yeah.
in case you're looking to shoot us down or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have the rules of secession, and that most of the time they do keep everybody split up.
Yeah.
And with these, even most big companies have a rule that they usually don't let the top three be on the same plane together, like the CEO and the CFO,
yeah.
the vice president. They're not allowed to be on a plane mm-hmm. together.
What about their entourage?
Maybe. But they usually try and keep, like, really the people that are really high up in the organization
mm-hmm.
like that, they usually don't fly together in case something like that does happen.
Yeah, you don't want them sharing needles either.
Yeah. And they say, and ever since that bombing happened in India, most of them don't even stay on the same hotel floors anymore
mm-hmm.
in case of something like that happens. So you don't lose in case something bad like that happens. Well, I got this news for you because I figured you'd be interested in it.
Oh, yes.
Syndicate remake looking more and more likely.
Yeah. Oh.
So they're remaking Syndicate, apparently. And, of course, you played this a lot, didn't you?
What?
Syndicate?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. The game would have been perfect if you could have moved the camera.
Yeah.
That was the only thing it really needed.
Well, apparently it's still popular and people are still playing it.
Mm-hmm. Mowing down civilians was never so much fun.
But they're trying to do it, and it's, you know, a real cult classic amongst PC gamers.
Mm-hmm.
It was released in 1993.
Yeah. Of course, I probably didn't play it until 96 or 97. But
still, I mean, that game's 17 years old.
Yeah. Now, if they redo Carmageddon, it'd probably suck, but...
They said Electronic Arts later bought Bullfrog and with its rights to any future Syndicate games.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's something they're kicking around and thinking about remaking.
Yeah, well, they have no new ideas.
Yeah. Why not? They're remaking everything else.
Yeah, chutes and ladders.
But you know how that usually goes. If they remake something like that, it ought to be...
Well, normally they just take a game that they already had that was maybe in a slightly, not entirely dissimilar, just 90% different,
yeah.
And then just slap the name on it.
Carmageddon could be great if they remade that.
Oh, yeah.
If they just kept it the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, changed a few things, but kept the basic core of it the same.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And if it had a real multiplayer.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be wild to play a multiplayer.
Yeah, because the third version actually had, allegedly, halfway okay multiplayer, and they say that was the thing that saved it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the game was pretty hopeless. Because I only ever played it in single player, so I would say it was just kind of hopeless.
It was fun, though, when you especially get this, like, solid granite car and things
oh,
like
that. Oh, yeah. The problem with that is I just, you know, sort of like playing Duke Nukem, I just learned every little niche, every little spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I can get into, like, the junkyard level, and I have, like, about a bazillion, you know, I totally max out my car and buy every other wrecked car.
Well, they keep claiming that they're going to make another Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
But it keeps going on and on and on. You know, if you're really that hardcore into gaming, you must really feel like a used biatch all the time. Because mm-hmm. games are always getting constantly delayed.
Yeah.
Because it's not really like a movie where you can control it so much.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I guess you could say, well, a movie you can't, but really on a movie you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everything's laid out ahead of time and...
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if Jimmy in programming or something quits, that could hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have any other stories?
No.
I have one more. No, actually, wait. I have two more. Yes. The Twilight series of books is on the list of most challenged books this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what the challenge list book is, or the list of challenged books is, it's basically all the books that people whine and moan about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're too graphic or they got nudity.
Oh, I just thought you were talking about the teenage girls whining.
Yeah. No, this is, you know, like that the Christians would complain about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Harry Potter didn't make the list this year because, you know, it promotes witchcraft, supposedly.
Yeah.
Because I know after, you know, my kid got done reading Harry Potter, you know, he started killing rats and asking for pig's blood, but you know, what other 10-year-old wouldn't do that?
Certainly we did.
Yeah. I mean, we gave him the pig's blood, but we drew the line at bringing home that human corpse. I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Well, I couldn't keep it that straight. I'm sorry.
But I have to say, you know, if you can raise the dead, you're doing something good with your kid. So just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say all the quality time that we spent together hitting rats with hammers just for their brains. You know, Harry Potter promotes family values. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Pagan rituals. Oh, anyway. So, of course, I'm not really going to get it. Of course, some of the books are still on here are classics, like The Catcher in the Rye.
Mm-hmm.
That's on there because of sexual content and language. And Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird, Language and Racism, The Color Purple, Sexual Content and Language, and The Chocolate War. No, I've never heard of that one. Nudity, Language, and Sexual Content.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read that one, sounds like it's got sexy results in it. Sounds like they're a winner. Because when I get a library, that's all I ask for. Give me something with the most sex in it and most pictures. And my last thing here is March video game retail sales climbed 6% this past month. So if you were worried about that. But the only reason I have that on here because it's for the internet comment of the week.
Okay.
I didn't want to go political or anything this time, but... This is so great. No wonder we Americans are a bunch of fat slobs. We are doing too much couch teetering. Couch teetering. I love that. All right. Well, I guess that ends episode 24. aggressivecouch@gmail.com. And of
or
course,
aggressivegmail@couch.com.
Yeah. Whatever one. The first one. Then, of course, iTunes, of course, Aggressive Couch. Hopefully someone's listening. If not, someone else will be listening that's not listening, but probably will be listening. Yeah. All right, we'll see you next time on the couch.